Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Is the telephone number. If you would like to get your voice on the air, join our conversation here on this Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain,
Nicholas Mountaineer,
and Melanie.
And we've been talking about this article from RealityCircuit.com about the IMF wanting to tie your credit rating to your search history. We've basically gotten through the article, and then we also had a caller who wanted to discuss how he's been fighting against money, and he had some interesting things to say. You guys had some follow-up on that.
Well, I mean, the first problem is, and I can relate to fighting against the idea of money. I used to do so for a very long time. But the problem is you end up with the price problem, which is, most people that imagine a world without money, they still imagine that everyone gets what they need. But the problem is, how do you determine what people actually need? And if you don't have people setting what price they are willing to accept for a given thing, and others deciding what price they're willing to give for a certain thing, then you don't actually have, you know, the immense amount of calculations necessary from special knowledge in order to figure out how valuable something actually is. So you don't know what to spend your resources on.
Yeah, I mean, so it's a quantification of scarcity, and like, let's not pretend, I'm not saying you're doing this, but let's not pretend that prices or any other system create this utopia where everybody gets everything they need and most of the things they want. That's not the case, but it's the best we got. It incentivizes the most production, and you can kind of go through your list starting at the top and then stopping when you run out of money. The main problem I had communicating with him was he refused to define money twice.
Yeah.
And I don't think that money means what he thinks it means, but then I don't know what he meant, so yeah. I can't really address it. Money is a unit of exchange and a store of value. There is some debate whether crypto is actually a unit of exchange because prices aren't usually denominated in crypto.
Right. But
I would leave that to some more technical people. And he did not strike me as somebody who had principles and foundations and was building on that. He struck me as somebody who looked at what was good for him and his friends and then reverse engineered it.
Well, it is incredibly difficult to have a discussion or even come to a conclusion when, you know, we can't agree on the terms.
Yeah.
So it's important to define what money is,
right,
so that we can all be talking from the same platform.
If you call in and tell me that you define money as chocolate unicorns with pink sprinkles, then I can discuss that. Because
right.
Now I know that you mean chocolate unicorns with pink sprinkles.
Right.
But if I ask you, what do you mean by money, and you just ignore the question twice, I can't do anything with that because You're clearly not using the official definition of
money.
And we have been trained to equate Federal Reserve notes with money.
Right. I wanted to mention, too, and clarify a bit about cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency is a language, right? It's code, right? It is speech. At its core is what it is. Now, what is money? My definition of money is the language of value. And what does cryptocurrency do? It gives that language new meaning.
That seems kind of post hoc. There is an economic definition of money.
Well, I think that is the effect of what the economic definition of money does.
I'll alliterate even more. Or expand on my thoughts. So primates, orangutans and that type of thing, have been known to create money. themselves, right? This is not just a human thing, right? So it's an expression of value. That's all money is. They will use whatever. They'll use pebbles, right? They'll use stones. Human beings have even used pebbles. They've used tulips. They've used, you know, all sorts of different things to be the currency to express value. How much is this thing worth to you? How many units of X, whatever that is, are you willing to give up to obtain this item or this service? Right? That's an expression of value.
And that's the unit of exchange part of money. Now, there's also other parts of money, like, as far as we know, they aren't actually keeping track of how many bits of meat they trade for a thing. But humans like to do that. We like to keep track of, like, okay, how much am I spending on X, Y, and Z?
Well, you might be granting people with more forethought than is.
I'm not saying all humans do that, but so, it is a thing that a lot of humans like to do, is keep track of how much they are expending, how much they're exchanging for a certain thing.
So again, money is a language. It's the expression of value. Now, what language expresses value the best? Is it government-created fiat currency? Is it cryptocurrency? Is it tulips? Is it chocolate-covered pink unicorns, or whatever it is you said earlier? What method expresses that value the best? That is the one that is going to win, and that is why cryptocurrency is currently on the tear that it's on, because it is a significantly better invention at expressing the value. I say this to people all the time because I have a bunch of friends who are musicians. If music is the expression of human emotion, then cryptocurrency is the expression of human value, or at least the best system for doing so. In the same way music is a language, cryptocurrency is also a language.
Well, it kind of depends on exactly what you mean for best there. Now, the fact that you can exchange, the fact that you can right now exchange cryptocurrency for U.S. dollars kind of muddies the water on that, because, like, dollars are really good at expressing value for two reasons. So on a small scale, on an individual-to-individual scale, what U.S. dollars do is they keep the IRS from coming after us. That's the one thing we are sure that they do.
And most people have to get all, if not almost all, of their resources with Federal Reserve notes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And on a large scale, from country to country, what they do is that they assure a given country that they will be able to access oil. Because every modern civilization requires oil to live. Like right now, for every calorie of food that you eat, thousands of calories of oil went into it.
I would actually argue that the fact that you can exchange cryptocurrency for the dollar, the USD, makes it superior to the dollar, because not only can you exchange cryptocurrency for the US, you can exchange cryptocurrency for any government-denominated currency, any, across the globe. There is a way, a method for you to do so. So there's no other currency on the planet that can do that. Yeah. It can't absorb all of the currencies. In fact, it is infrastructure. It is the language of value infrastructure of cryptocurrency, right? The fact that cryptocurrency exists in its mathematical state makes it infrastructure to all other currencies. And much like the internet vacuumed up a whole bunch of businesses because, well, it sort of made them inferior, right? That is what cryptocurrency is doing to government currencies. It is vacuuming them up. They are all riding on top of it now. And soon enough, there's going to be an inversion to where there'll still be some people who transact in government currencies, but they will all be riding the wave of crypto.
And it could get to the point where we see on an individual level what the system has set up, which is, okay, I can buy a car, I can buy a house, I can buy groceries, I can buy anything I need in, you know, say, BCH, mm-hmm. but that guy who's going to kill me if I don't pay my property taxes, I need reserve notes for that.
Right.
That, which is really why, on a systematic level, that's why reserve notes have oil, domestically at least.
Right.
That might become apparent.
Yeah.
if we get to that point.
And the reason that it's superior is just because you, if you use it correctly, you will always be able to access it, and you will always have a record of those transactions.
The thing that the United States dollar is backed by is the full force of the government. That is it. That's the only thing it's backed by. More Free Talk Live coming up, 603-283-6160.
Having taken her father's throne, Sarah Calhoun has fallen out with one of her best allies, and her brother Nathaniel heads into Imperial Philadelphia with a reckless plan. Her uncle Thomas, armed with new powers and new allies, aims to remove Sarah from her throne and from the world of the living. To survive and to gain the strength she needs to fight an impossible war, Sarah must unite the Mound Builder Kings to enact an ancient rite that will propel her beyond mortality. Servant Daughter by T.J. Butler is the newest entry in the Dragon Award-winning Witchy War series from Bane Books at BaneBooks.com.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless, free market, non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com.
Divvy's been a pretty good investment for Free Talk Live. Their ad campaign started in September 2019, and from mid-March to mid-July, the values soared by 10 times. It's not too late. Divvy's new wallet hasn't even released yet, and other things are happening that I can't even say on the radio. If you want to invest and potentially do well, go to DivvyProject.org. I can tell you that FTL is deepening its partnership with the guys from DivvyProject.org. Past performance is not an indication of future profit. DivvyProject.org. D-I-V-I Project.org.
Look, I'm sorry, but you're in for a world of pain if you use Coinomi. The reason is their wallet doesn't support payments. The solution is simple. Let them hear your voice. Message Coinomi on Twitter, it takes 5 seconds, and tell them AnyPay sent you, because they're on the fence right now, and your voice will prove that people care about using Bitcoin for payments. Go tweet at Coinomi now, or even better, leave a review in the App Store. They really pay attention there. Thanks.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Want to dominate the stock market in 2021? Looking for higher profit potential? With the COVID vaccines, the shifting political landscape, and a new year, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how. Make 2021 your year. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
It's a moment of Free Talk Live. Get our archives daily via our podcast at feeds.freetalklive.com.
Welcome Welcome back to the show. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening, everybody. It is Free Talk Live. Our telephone number here in the studio is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
And we were talking about this article about the IMF calling for your credit score to be tied to your internet search history. I just happened to have, well, a segue article, if you will. This is from Yahoo Finance.
And they have an article about segues?
Yeah, you know, before those Roly deals that Microsoft, I think Microsoft, mm-hmm. right, that are yeah. called segues, before those existed, segue meant transition into, right? Like, I'm going to segue from one topic into another, and I would build a verbal bridge to do so, but, yeah.
Well, how much do those cost?
I'll sell you one if you got some Bitcoin. This from Yahoo Finance. Biden wants to shut down credit bureaus. What would that mean for you? And what does it mean that Biden wants to shut down credit bureaus? That's my question. Well, one of the more fascinating platform items of the Biden presidential campaign was the idea of transferring consumer credit ratings from Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion to a public registry under the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, also known as the government. I read this to say...
Because I got
to
say, that Consumer Financial Protection Bureau just doing a bang-up job so far. I feel totally protected as a consumer.
Yeah, I don't feel my finances are protected at all by the organization known as government. And what this says to me is the government wants to take over what are seemingly, at least more so than governments, market agencies to produce credit ratings currently. And turn that into just one government agency. That sounds like a bad idea to me, because again, the government has a very poor track record of taking over things and making them better. In fact, I can't think of anything. Can you name something, either of you, that the government has taken over and improved? Oh, the silence of death.
No.
Yeah. Callers, can you name somebody or something?
Oh, oppression.
The government took over oppression
actually,
and made
no,
it better?
Actually, no, because if you look at dollar for dollar, if your goal is to kill and lock up people, the government is really inefficient at killing people.
Well...
We don't want it to be, but it is still inefficient.
Well, there's more to oppression than just killing people and locking them up.
But it is the largest murderer.
Yes, but most people or entities aren't that big.
Centralization of power. They have definitely done a bang-up job of that.
Well, okay, but did they take over it? No, they self-imposed it.
Slavery. They're awesome at that.
Yeah, there's a few things government's good at, and I think we've covered them. Killing, slaving, taking your money.
Yep.
Right? I can't think of anything else that they're good at.
Let's see. Lying,
stealing,
lying.
They're really good at lying.
Cheating, enslaving, killing. Yeah, that.
Okay. All right. So basically, no. The article says, as reported by The Balance, this idea was examined in depth in a paper published by a think tank called Demos in 2019. One major takeaway of that paper was that decisions drawing on credit data reproduce and spread existing racial inequality, making it harder to achieve true economic equity. Demos proposed the idea of a public credit registry in that paper because, you know, having three or even four credit bureaus apparently isn't enough. They want to have one centralized government-controlled registry.
Do you mind if I go off on a brief little tangent here?
Why, go ahead.
All right, so two quick things. So this one mentioned equity. Mm-hmm. So that's a term that used to have a specific meaning, both in the financial world and just as a term. And it is rapidly coming to a very different meaning.
So what was it and what is it?
So what it used to mean was that there was equity in a transaction. So like if we agree that you will give me 5 widgets and I will give you 4,000 satoshis,
mm-hmm.
and then we do that, then there's equity. And there's also the financial term of, like, having equity in your house. So, like, if you've put work into it, you've paid off part of your mortgage, that sort of thing, that becomes equity.
Right.
And rapidly, equity is moving to a very different term. And it basically is a subtle way of saying socialism.
Okay. And what was the other thing?
The other one is that... oh, shoot. I seem to have lost. Oh, there it is.
Glad you found it.
Yeah. There's a lot going on up here. Our caller had mentioned that there were laws of usury laws.
Yes.
Now, that's another term that has very drastically changed.
I'd be surprised if most of our listeners understand what usury is, or the definition of it anyway.
It's not a common term. It used to be. Now, once upon a time, what usury was charging interest on a loan.
Mm-hmm.
That was usury, and it was not only bad, but evil.
Right.
Because it was considered simony, a term that I'm sure almost no one knows, which is the idea of selling something spiritual in exchange for something material. So the idea that you gave someone gold and they gave you the promise of that gold plus more was satanic evil, because you are selling something that doesn't exist physically for something that does exist physically.
Okay.
And that did become part of our culture for a long time, that you could not charge interest for anything of European culture anyway. Now, the Templars ended up being the first ones allowed to do that, which... is right when the term usury started shifting. So then it wasn't charging interest at all. It was charging too much interest.
Right, which is what the current definition appears to be. I've just checked a couple sources. Usury, the illegal action or practice of lending money at an unreasonably high rate of interest. Interest at unreasonably high rates is the current definition.
And, I mean, already you can kind of see the problem there of, well, it's unreasonable. Well, according to who?
Right. Who determines reasonable? Of course, the market should determine that. And also individuals, right? If I am looking for a loan and I go to one person and they go, hey, yeah, I can do the loan for you, and I'll do it at 20% interest for you. I go, well... how about 10? They go, no, sorry, we can't go any lower than 20. I go, okay, well, let me get back to you. And then as a smart man, I should go and shop around and find, and somebody else goes, no, we'll do it for, 8%,
mm-hmm.
Or whatever it is. That's on me. It's my responsibility to shop around and get the best possible interest rate that I can.
Right. In a free market, the modern term of usury is physically impossible. You cannot possibly charge me an unreasonable amount because I get to decide what's reasonable.
You seem reasonable to me. Thank you for that. 603-283-6160. We've got more Free Talk Live on the way.
A congressman recently revealed that legislation totaling 2,900 pages and involving more than $1 trillion was available to members of Congress for less than 48 hours to study and consider. That's over 60 pages of legislation per hour. Do you think anyone read the entire bill? I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org. Consider a proposal buried in a 3,200-page, $388 billion bill, which would have empowered committee chairmen or their agents to examine Americans' tax returns. When this horrible provision came to light, no one claimed to know how it got into the bill. One congressman questioned said, I didn't write it, I didn't approve it, I wasn't even consulted. If your attorney represented you this way, he might be disbarred. But this is how Congress represents you every day. That's why DownsizeDC.org has created the Read the Bills Act. You can force Congress to read their bills before they pass them at DownsizeDC.org.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki. For the first time in several months, the United States is averaging fewer than 100,000 new cases of COVID-19 per day. Even with the positive news, health experts are warning that infections still remain high and precautions against the virus should still be taken. Dr. Megan Ranney is an emergency physician at Brown University, and she tells CNN that deaths from the virus also remain high, but could fall along with cases if more vaccinations can be administered.
But the thing is, our hospitals are still full of people that were diagnosed over the last 2 months. And as we know, COVID very rarely kills immediately. It lingers, and those deaths continue to occur. So we're going to keep seeing deaths for weeks yet. When will we start to see deaths fall? Probably a month from now, but that's if all goes well. If we can keep those new variants at bay, and of course if we can get vaccinations into arms quick enough to keep the number of new infections low.
This is USA Radio News. The CDC released their highly anticipated guidelines for reopening schools last week, setting out a roadmap for getting kids back into the classroom. The director of the CDC says the science is clear that schools have not been shown to be sites of high transmission of COVID, even in areas where the community spread is high. Dr. Rochelle Walensky tells CBS's Face the Nation that's part of the reasoning behind the push to get students back to in-person learning.
So what we know from the literature, from the scientific literature, is that most disease transmission does not happen in the walls of the school. It comes in from the community. There's very limited transmission between students and staff, really mostly between staff to staff when there are breaches in mask wearing. So what we're really advocating for now is working together. Especially in the high areas of transmission, the red zones you just talked about, getting our K to 5 kids back in a hybrid mode with universal mask wearing and 6 feet of distancing.
This is USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Still not sure why you'd want to watch, but our video feed is streaming nightly for free at cam.freetalklive.com.
Yes, it is Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. Those are the 10 digits you need to join us on air on this live Sunday night edition. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Pick Peakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
Pick your jaw up off the ground. We've been talking about this article from Yahoo Finance saying that Biden wants to shut down credit bureaus and transform them into a single public registry under the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. I can't imagine what could possibly go wrong here. Why would giving government one organization the ability to rate your credit be better than three different ones?
Not that they're, like, entirely private as it stands.
True.
But it doesn't need to be its own, like...
Too private. No. Three companies is entirely too much competition.
The Federal Reserve now gets to determine as an entity whether or not you get a car loan or this job. No.
We have
let's
to
not do that.
We have to put pressure on three whole agencies to get things done.
Well, yes, yes, they do. I guess that would make it easier. Now they wouldn't have to put any pressure on anyone except for the one agency. And, well, if they make a mistake, why, there's no one to compare it to.
There is kind of a level of spite that goes along, or not spite, but a level of kind of vengeance that goes along with this, because it's like, okay, well, you had all these credit agencies, I guess you still have the credit agencies, and you had all these insurance companies who were not exactly acting privately or well, and they just lobbied for more and more and more power.
Yep.
Not market power, but, you know, power.
Right, right.
Political and then the power. Government was like, yeah, I'll take that. It's like you kind of want to laugh at them a little bit. It's like, well, you played the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you kept people out of competition with you, and then you kept more people out of competition with you, and oh, look, now you're not allowed to compete.
Yeah, it's not like somebody who built a business legitimately, and then the government was like, this steel factory is mine now. It's like, no, that's a total, like, you had a legitimate business, presumably, as far as I know, you were playing by regular market rules, and then they just stole it. This is like, you lobbied for special protections, and then the government was like, yeah, that's powerful. I like to own powerful things.
You know, we keep giving them special protections and special protections. It's almost like they're a government agency.
Yeah. The article says the three primary reporting agencies analyze consumer borrowing and repayment patterns. They assign scores that are then used to assess a person's credit worthiness. This can affect their access to an apartment and their ability to hold certain jobs, in addition to the amount they can borrow and the interest rates that they are charged. It's big business, enough to support three public companies, although they do have other businesses as well. While lenders certainly have the right to determine the risk of a potential borrower, the problem is the lack of transparency in the process. As if government is going to solve that.
Right, because they've been so transparent about everything so far.
Oh, man. The three
they've
jurors...
gotten a little bit more transparent in the past year or so. It's odd.
They Hold have? On, I'd like to... Yeah,
yeah, they come out and they're like, well, you know, Fauci was like, you know what, I lied, actually. And then they came out and like, well, we don't know when we're in lockdown. And Nancy Pelosi came out the other day and said, well, Biden won, so I got what I wanted, so I'm not going to give you a stimulus package.
That's true.
Like, these people said these things. Yeah. Like, it's not me mind reading.
That's not really transparency. That's more of just like, hey, I lied. So they're being honest about their dishonesty.
Yeah,
but only after they've been dishonest in the first place. So
right.
I don't know if that's transparency. Transparency would be show me the books. Let me see exactly where every dime goes.
That, yeah, I mean,
you know, the taxpayers' money.
Yelling "gotcha" doesn't really count as transparency.
Right. Like, ha ha. At any rate, the three bureaus have slightly different calculation methods and data sources, which can result in the same person having three very different credit scores.
I've never seen three very different. I've seen, like, slightly different.
I've also only seen three slightly different, whether it's me or, you know, friends or family, that type of thing.
Right, and I mean, it seems to me that that would actually be a good idea that they don't tell you exactly how they came up with the thing. I mean, number one, because you don't want, because, you know, in theory, they're competing with each other. So,
well, no, you would, like, if these are the, if there's a win condition, you should know what the win condition is.
Right.
Not, like, randomly do things, and then I'll tell you if you win. Like,
no, actually, you shouldn't.
Shady.
You shouldn't. I mean, this is actually a problem that comes up in computer programming for artificial intelligence, that once you make a measure the goal, then it ceases to be a measure of anything useful.
Who's the author of this thing?
So, like,
Anne Loeb. She's delusional.
So, like, for example, if you give an artificial intelligence the goal of, you know, do whatever you can do to play Super Mario Brothers and get as many coins as you can. And what you're trying to get the AI to do is to explore the levels of the game.
That's just a poorly worded goal.
Well, I mean, that's a way to hypothetically get it to explore that world.
No, it's not. It's a way to get it to go in and crack it and give itself all the coins.
Right, exactly. And
well,
that's,
then ward your goals
better.
No.
That's exactly the thing that happens. If you tell people what the exact metric for how they can get their credit up, I mean, what you're trying to do is determine, are they going to repay the loans that we give them? That's what you're trying to assess.
I don't think that that's the case, actually. I think that they're trying to determine who is going to stay on credit long enough for us to make X whatever we're trying to make, and not pay it off until then, but make enough payments that we want them to. But that, those amounts are secrets.
You guys are onto something, because this article continues on, and albeit I think this Anne Logue is delusional in her writing, she goes on to say some of the criteria seem unusual and can be gamed. She's saying it can be gamed from a consumer perspective. We're saying it can be gamed from the lender's perspective. For example, she gives, it is better to have a high-limit credit card and only charge part of it than to charge the same amount on a low-limit credit card. Paying off a mortgage can reduce your credit score. In addition, errors are common but difficult to correct. Sometimes they can be. I've had an error on my credit report, and I got it corrected. It took a while. It wasn't difficult. It just took time before it actually came off my report. There's some evidence of racial biases as well, which in turn affects access to housing, certain jobs, and credit.
Having subjective search result criteria is not going to... Oh, wait, that's the other article. Okay, never mind. Sorry.
This says people have the right to free copies of their credit report once a year, but have to pay beyond that. Ooh, like, I mean.
Not really.
Yeah. Now, this is what I find ludicrous. The Biden proposal would improve people's access to their credit.
Have you tried to get health care when Obamacare first came out, or even go to the website at all?
It gets better. The sentence continues, and may lead to standardized calculations.
Yeah, this is one thing that it kind of astonishes me that people still make this profound error in logic. When they are thinking about the government doing a thing, they automatically assume that it is done well. Like, just they put that as an assumption, like the government will A, do what it's telling us it's trying to do, and B, do what it's trying to, what it's telling us it's trying to do.
Well, if I had a budget of $30 billion a year, I could do this well, even though I have no clue how to do it right now sitting here. And while that is the case, that does not mean that they're going to do it at all, and they're just going to take the $20 billion.
I know the solution to the problems in both of these articles that we've covered so far tonight, and that is the separation of money and state. Just like the separation of church and state, the separation of money and state will go a long way to increasing the individual's personal liberties.
And just like the separation of church and state was accomplished by people going their own way on churches, doing their own worship, so the separation of state and money will be accomplished by us using non-government money.
Correct.
So use crypto for actual transactions.
You know, use gold backs for your, you know, daily casual use, you know, if you need a physical, tangible object to hold in your hand, something that looks shiny, and you know, use gold backs.
Yeah, talk about something that's backed with gold.
603-283-6160. We've got more Free Talk Live for you coming up.
Times are certainly uncertain. In fact, the return of food shortages is likely. Don't take chances. Make the decision to acquire a dependable supply of long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts for up to 25 years in storage, ready the moment you need it. There's an old saying, failing to plan means planning to fail. Don't wait for the next crisis. Have a 3-month, 6-month, or even 1-year supply of food on hand. It's easy and affordable. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of folks like you for over a decade, and our mission is your survival. Our meals are delicious and provide you with 2,000 calories a day, and our kits arrive quickly and discreetly at your doorstep. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off yourself. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and face the future without regrets.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Foundation.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. Welcome back to the program, everybody. Thank you for listening on this Sunday evening edition. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me,
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
And we're going to switch gears a little bit here because this is very interesting to me. Now, I am a musician. I make music. You can hear some of my sort of Weird Al-inspired parody music over at LordKickass.com. But I must warn you, adult content does exist in some of my songs. So
the FCC would not approve.
Yeah, if that is offensive to you, well, then by all means, don't go to LordKickass.com. But if you would like some laughter in your life, which I think we could all use a bit more of these days, feel free to visit and have yourself a listen. Now, having said that, I don't personally believe in intellectual property. I think that that is just a human construct within our minds. It's more so a way of government forcing people to do things that they otherwise wouldn't do. That being said, this from Vice.com. A new video shows Beverly Hills cops playing The Beatles to trigger Instagram copyright filter. Now, if that doesn't make any sense to you, let me break it down. If you make a video and of you and your friends in your living room, and you have The Beatles playing on your home stereo in your living room, and you upload that video to, say, Instagram or YouTube, for example, both of these companies have algorithms to detect music that has been copywritten. In other words, registered with the government, and says that only if you've paid somebody a fee or gotten a license to use this music can you use it for any purpose whatsoever. And so the YouTube or the Instagram would take that video down because it detected the algorithm of the aforementioned Beatles song. The police now have found a way to combat activists who film them. And what they're doing is they're playing copywritten music during the interaction. So when the activist is recording the police interaction and they go to upload it to one of these sites, it doesn't get published because the algorithm takes it down for a copyright violation. That sucks, particularly for activists. In at least three cases, Beverly Hills cops have started playing music seemingly to prevent themselves from being filmed by an activist. Turns out that Beverly Hills PD isn't just into Sublime, they also like the Beatles. In a new video that L.A. area activist Senate Devermont says was taken on January 16th, we can see Devermont trying to ask Sergeant Billy Fair, now best known for blasting Sublime at the police headquarters, a question. But suddenly, he's interrupted by the mournful voice of Paul McCartney. And it goes on to quote the lyrics of yesterday, "All my troubles seem so far away." It is the unmistakable opening of the Beatles classic coming from the cell phone of Officer Julian Rise, who is standing nearby. Thayer points at Rise's phone as if to draw Devermont's attention to it and walks away. Devermont, who's holding a media press identification badge, then walks up to Rise, who is still playing the music, and tries to ask him a question. But the officer doesn't answer. He simply stares straight ahead and holds his cell phone pointed towards Devermont. The Beatles' Yesterday moves into the second verse. As Vice News reported Tuesday, police in Beverly Hills have repeatedly played copyright music while being filmed, seemingly in an attempt to trigger Instagram's algorithmic copyright filters, which could result in videos of police interactions with the public being taken down.
A quick question. I wonder why they would assume that it was Instagram's. Like, my first thought would be YouTube's.
I'm sorry, can you...
Algorithm.
They all have these algorithms. Twitter has them.
They kind of have to.
Mm-hmm. Some of the websites that I use or have attempted to use also have them. So because I do parody music, and parody music, by the way, is protected by a certain law that's called fair use.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you can, if you're making fun of something, mm-hmm. If you're using something for education purposes, you know, there's a variety of things that qualify for fair use.
Then you have a fighting chance to be able to use it.
Correct, yes. And so what happens is, on the front of some of these companies, if I take and make a parody of, Pearl Jam or something like that, and I upload it to just a regular site as if it were my own, the regular site has an algorithm that goes, oh, no, we detected that this is a melody or a beat or, you know, phrasing from Pearl Jam's blah, 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 and thus you're violating copyright and we won't publish your song, even though it's a parody, it's humor, and it's generally commentary.
And to some extent, so they're not going to pay a lawyer to go through everything that gets flagged to determine
right.
whether or not you get to keep it up.
Right.
And that makes sense to a large extent.
A lawyer?
And
heck, they're not going to get an intern to do
pretending
it.
Pretending that, well, the intern would be useless. Pretending that they're private companies for a second. That makes a lot of sense. But the reason why that is because they have to be in compliance with copyright law on their platform. This needs to get rid of interference. Well, a lot of things. Option number 100 on my preference list. This needs to get rid of into fair use.
Yeah, this is... Just one thing I'm really curious about here is, wouldn't that be protected under, like, 230? That, like, okay, well, I'm a platform, so I can't be held liable for what's on my platform, so you can't actually sue me for playing the Beatles.
Well, what will really bend your mind in a second is when, I mean, I think it's obvious to you guys who's, and again, I don't believe in intellectual property, but who is doing the copyright violation here? Is it the activist filming the police? No. The activist is not playing the Beatles or the Sublime or whatever. It's the police who are violating copyright.
Are you sure about that?
Yes, because they're the ones playing the copywritten material into
a
video.
They
are playing it publicly because police are public property.
But so if I have a group of 10 people at the park, I can play copyrighted music. There's a number at which it becomes illegal. You can't play it to public audiences.
Well, but if you are police and you are certain that you are being recorded, and you have a reasonable suspicion that that recording will be going onto the internet, then you have a reasonable suspicion that anything that you play will reach an audience more than you are allowed to
play. Yeah, I don't think that matters.
For. Correct. Well, I mean, legally.
Well, yeah, this is
methodic,
you know, pie in the sky thinking that the law might be applied equally.
The difference in, you know, just bringing a boombox to the park and cranking tunes is you're not making any money off of it, right? So if you're playing the radio, you're playing a CD that you bought, you know, you're playing an MP3 that you downloaded, you bought on Amazon or whatever, and you're cranking that on your boombox at the beach to 100 people, right? There's no copyright violation there because you're not making any money off of it. Now, a venue, like a live music venue, oftentimes in between bands or DJs or whatever, they will spin music that is copywritten.
Well, yeah,
the venue has to
have
a license for that, right? So it's when in that respect, there is, you have to purchase a license and that kind of thing. But the activist here in this particular scenario is not the one playing the copywritten music. It is the police playing the copywritten music. So they, as the law, are using another portion of the law to block themselves from being published. See what I'm saying? They're using the algorithms that cut out copywritten material from being published to these online platforms to protect themselves from being published in whatever it is that they're doing. There's a reason.
Well, right, but I don't think copyright law cares, which is why
you're right. Copyright law doesn't care.
It.
Right. Copyright law doesn't care who played the music. I'm just pointing out that it's not the activist in this case playing the music. It's the police playing this music. If anybody is violating copyright law, it's the police in this particular scenario.
Would these artists be able to, and I'm sure that they're picking out people who, while the Beatles themselves would be horrified by this, whoever owns their stuff now, maybe not, be
and
able to just grant
no
life,
sense of humor, or
limited licenses to this type of thing?
Yeah, licensing for copyright is a very muddy, muddy area, and I want nothing to do with it. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live coming up.
Tired of cancel culture? Sick of mega tech corporations holding an axe over your head? Join the LRN.fm Matrix chat server. It's self-hosted, so no one else can tell us what to do or say. Don't like the existing channels? You can make your own. You can even connect into some of our channels from other Matrix servers. It's federated. For the full LRN.fm Matrix experience, though, you should join our server via the step-by-step instructions at chat.lrn.fm. chat.lrn.fm.
What if the United States and the Soviet Union had fought on land, sea, air, and the astral plane, struggled for dominion across parallel dimensions, or on the surface of the moon? What wonders would have been unveiled? What terrors would have haunted mankind from those dark and dismal dimensions? Come closer, peer through a glass darkly, and discover the horrifying alternative visions of World War III from some of today's greatest minds in science fiction, fantasy, and horror. Weird World War III. Available now from Bane Books at BaneBooks.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.